Tonight I want us to look at a study on how to have victory in the battles of life. And the theme, a stone's throw away, coming from David in the slaying of Goliath. But it's such a good story that we can place into our own heart and into our own lives, of grasping the picture of all of the stories through our Old Testament. And in doing so, remember, folks, everything throughout Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, is of God. It is the story of how God connects us, how God brings into being His nation, Israel, how God had tried to tell the human race from the beginning that I am God, I will lead you, I will direct you. Everything was going great until the Hebrew nation said, we want to be like all the other nations, and give us a king. Give us a king so all the other nations will not mock us. God said, I'll turn you over to your king, but he will take what you make, and all that you have will be proportioned out to that king. And God says, have I asked you for anything? And have I not delivered you from your enemies? Yes, Lord, but it had to do with the pride of the heart of the human race. The Jewish nation said, no, but, you know, we don't want to be different anymore. We want to be accepted in like all the other nations. We're battling the same battles today that were battled at the beginning. We're battling with our own nation, our own denominations, the Christian faith, and we're seeing and listening to folks say, look, though, what we have to do is just so invite everyone. Well, we do, but we will not invite a foreign god. We will not say just to appease folk, or to make you have an attitude that, I feel good now, we're accepted in the world. Well, that ought to not make us feel very good. If we're accepted, then Jesus said, those who didn't like me are not going to like you. Now we're saying that, yeah, but now we're accepted and we're at peace with all of these beliefs because we accept them and accept that they can get to heaven that way also. No, that's deception. That's not accepting. It's deception. We have always been a people that were to be different, a people that God had chosen. And he says, through the blood of my son, I give you the freedom. Now we're supposed to add on, well, maybe there is. And when I hear a Baptist a minister or a leader that says, well, you know, possibly there could be another way. When I hear that, it just goes all over me. What have we done? Are we not doing the same thing that took place from the beginning of the age? The same thing that we're seeing in the Old Testament of God's nation saying, let us be like everyone else. None of us in here are like anyone else. Every one of us have our own individual personality, and every one of us understand that we know who Jesus is in our life, but we also know our brothers and our sisters. How do we know them? By the love that they have of Christ in their life. But we do not say, this is the way you have to worship. This is what you have to, way you have to preach, Brother Larry. No, because we know that each of us are individuals chosen by God. But Jesus, one God, folks, one Savior. And we all know that one Savior. So therefore, that's why we get a little rough around the edges sometimes of saying, I can't believe that you would say that in a pulpit. Well, the other preachers never say that in a pulpit. And I understand. But I'm not like other preachers, and other preachers aren't like me. God chooses us from generation to generation to make a difference in His kingdom, not in our human wisdom or thought process, or I want you to sit down, I want you to really think, and I want you, as you're thinking, I want you to develop that image of God in your mind. And when I, you know, it hurts me to think very long. It really does. My brain just seems to want to give me a headache when I get to doing so much thinking. But when I use faith, or when I use the trust, like I talked about this morning, as each of us individually, I realize, folks, that you can never become so intellectual. I never had a problem with that part. But you can never become that way to the point to where you can figure God out. But that's exactly what so many are trying to do in our society today. When they see people that will, let's use, for instance, the productions of Hollywood. When they see all the Christians going to the movies that were made by Christians, and all of the money that those movies that were created or made by the Christians, and look, they brought in all that money. Hey, we can do that, and we can take some of that Christian money, and we'll use it our way. Well, what happened? You'll see Noah, one from the Hollywood, and what was the name of that? It was Noah, wasn't it?
It was Noah.
Yeah. But it had nothing to do with biblically. And it was, but I noticed a rating on it that said 1.5 stars. And I thought, it ought to be a half a star. It shouldn't be in there. Because it was all made up. Why? We didn't go see it. Why? Because as Christians, we know the story. And we know that the story focuses around who God is and the love of God, and not in the man and the theatrics of all of it. Life is a mess, right? I mean, you can't pretty this up. To live life from that cross until the time I go home, it is a mess. Hurt, disaster, your heart's broken. You're lifted up one day, and the next day you're right in the middle of a ditch, and you've got family problems. You've got husband problems. You got wife problems. They used to be part of the family. I guess we still are. You have all of these problems hitting you, and we say, what have I done wrong? Folks, life is going to hit us. It will rain on the just as well as the unjust. When life hits us, it's going to hurt so many times. But God says, don't worry. I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. So the story of David and Goliath, this story that I wanted to pull out for you, is a story that we can learn from today as a New Testament church in Christ, because same God, same Jesus, same Holy Spirit. God doesn't change. People change. God doesn't change. So listen, there are going to be times in our life, and when I was writing this, I'm going to read this for those who are listening. You all have it on your printouts for you, but I would just want to lay down the foundation. There are going to be times in our life when we will face a threat, problem, or challenge that is far bigger than we are. The older we get, the more of them we can see. The older we get, the weaker we are in having to deal with them. That's why some folk, they'll wake up of a morning and think, you know, I went to bed last night hoping that when I woke up, that ache and that hurt and that brokenness would be gone. But it's still here. It hurts. So we're dealing with reality. Okay, David is the first person named in the New Testament after Jesus Christ. Now, you got to picture this, because this is the groundwork I'm wanting to lay. Because remember, the throne of David is the throne that Jesus says when he comes back to this earth, that he will rule from the throne of David. That's the closeness. So listen to it. David is the first person named in the New Testament after Jesus Christ. And he is the last person named in the New Testament except for Jesus Christ. So God was tying in for us the story of both the old and the new, and saying it's one story. It's not an idea that God had said, okay, now what we call the Old Testament, no longer worry about that. You know, here are your New Testament Christians. Yes, we are. But the whole Bible is the Word of God. It's the whole Scripture. But we must understand that when Christ came, he fulfilled the law, which was the old Scriptures, the Old Testament had. He came to fulfill them. He did not come to kick everything out or saying, that's okay, now you don't have to pay any attention to the Ten Commandments. Well, if I break any of the Ten Commandments, I was guilty of breaking them all, so therefore the commandments was given to us for us to understand you can't keep them because we are haughty people. We are people that want to control everything within our own mind. And we're wanting to say, okay, this is who God is. God will reveal unto you who he is. It's not my job to convince you that God exists. That's not my job nor my concern. My focus is to teach God's Word. God's quite capable of revealing himself to each one so that each of us, because of our multiplicity of personalities, each of us will understand the God of the universe is the God for each individual personality. Okay. More verses in God's Word are devoted to King David than to any other person mentioned, with the exception of Jesus Christ. Now, it's fact, and that's what I want to give you, biblical fact, biblical truth. God said, remember, I gave you the Mosaic Law. Moses gave you the law to show you couldn't keep it. Because people said, okay, make us like every other. We will, okay, we can keep it ourselves because we are great. We, I, and me. Gosh, that's still going on a little, you reckon? Okay. As a boy, the youngest of siblings, David was a shepherd, a musician, a poet, and a psalmist. He killed a lion and a bear with his staff, meaning with his bare hands. David's a tough little dude. Now, he was tough, but here's one of David's problems. God had blessed him so much that David, well, you can pick back up in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul. Paul, is telling all of the religious people, well, I'm smarter than all of you, and he was. And doing this, David was getting the special touch from God, and he knew he was. So he was a little cocky when he was talking to his siblings. As a matter of fact, he was so cocky talking to his siblings, you'll find that his dad sends him out to take food to his brothers who were on the front lines of battle against Goliath, and go feed them, take the bread so that they'll have. And he gets out there and he starts getting cocky with his brothers. And one part of it, his brothers are yelling at him, who do you think you are? Oh, good gracious, David, shut up. Just leave the food and go back home. And that's exactly what was going on with him. So for 40 days, always notice the 40s, 40 days, flooding 40 days, raining 40 days, 40 nights, 40 years in the wilderness, always a great study. For 40 days, the army of the Philistines, Israel's mortal enemy, was camped on the mountain and a valley, was camped on a mountain in a valley away from the army of Israel. I had it right when I was typing it. Was camped on another mountain. Israel's on one mountain, Philistines on another mountain. You got a valley in between. You got it? Yeah, well, my brain didn't get it good, did it? The heavyweight champion of the Philistines was a 9 foot, 11 inch tall giant named Goliath. His body armor weighed between 125 to 150 pounds. Now, why did I give you that variance? It's because all of these really, really smart people who have pulled all of the stats out never seem to agree with each other. So the weight was between 125 to 150 pounds. Who cares about that 25 extra pound when it dude 9 foot 11 inches tall? Some said he was taller. Others said he was small. You know, I guess it's according, it's all in the eyes of the beholder. If I'm David looking at a giant 9 foot 11 and I'm this little teenager type of a guy, cocky with my mouth, you know, and all of this stuff, well, to me, well, he was 30 foot tall. I mean to tell you, they didn't picture it. Okay. And he had a spearhead that weighed 15 to 25 pounds. That doesn't count the staff of the spear, just the head of the spear. Think of the armor barrier. All of these warriors, they had the armor barrier. That dude had to be pretty tough himself, didn't he? Okay. He had challenged, now listen to this. He had challenged any man in Israel to a one-fall, winner-take-all match. Sadly, nobody, not one of the men, nobody wanted to fight him. Well, when you see them like that, and you got to remember, this was in the days of the giants also. He had four or five brothers. And so they were giants also. And as a matter of fact, it would have been four brothers because he picked up five stones. You remember that? He picked up five stones. And many of the scholarly studiers said, just in case the brothers decided to join in, he had one for each of them also. That makes a good story, but I don't know. I just like the idea. It only took one to put Goliath down. If I was his brothers, I would have left anyway right after that. Now, 1 Samuel 17:24. When all the men of Israel saw the man, meaning Goliath, they fled from him and were greatly afraid. Now, if you're reading the Old English, it'll be they were sore afraid. Sore afraid. Okay. Jesse, who is David's father, sent him to the front lines to take food to his brothers. I told you all it was in here, didn't I? Okay. 1 Samuel 17:25. The men of Israel said, now, here's David coming on the scene. Let me get this set up for you. He's coming on the scene, and he's got the food for his siblings. Bring it out, because they're part of the army, and they're young men and cocky, but not as cocky as their little brother David. So he shows up, and he wants to know what all the commotion's about. What's going on here? And so here's what the men that are standing around start telling him. The men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who is coming up?" He's talking about Goliath. "Surely he is coming up to defy Israel. And it will be that the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches and will give him his daughter." Now remember, that would have been the princess, and you'll never find an ugly princess. He's getting all the riches that he'll ever need. Money, the prettiest girl in the kingdom, and all of the family would have loved this one. And his father's house free in Israel, simply meaning he'd never have to pay taxes. And that's what all of that means. And they're telling David this. David, this is what is said. Well, David has more fire in him, though, for the love of God and the respect to God's word. And when he is listening to this, well, you'll hear what he says in a moment. But when he's listening to this, you can just picture the fire lighting in him. Our victory in the battles of life is literally a stone's throw away. This is the focus. This is where David comes in now. Because what David had, we have. And what David did, we can do. Like David, we must have, number one, courage to step up for the fight. It was Goliath's challenge. Goliath issued the challenge. 1 Samuel 17:10 through 11. I defy the armies of Israel today. This is Goliath giving from his big deep voice. And he had to have had a deep voice. 9 foot 11 inch. If he had a squeaky voice, it was over. So he had that deep voice. Send me a man who will fight me. When Saul and the Israelites heard this, he was terrified and deeply shaken. This is the king. Folks, when you got the leadership shaking in their boots, then you've got a problem. 1 Samuel 17:26-27. Then David spoke to the men who were standing by him. Now, remember, they just told David all of this stuff up here at the top. Now, listen to what David says. Standing by him saying, what? Let me put my emphasis on this here, right? What will be done for the man who kills the Philistines and takes away the reproach from Israel? Now, it is almost an exclamation, more so than a question. What? God, listen to the anger in him. Then he says, for who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God? The people answered him in accord with this word, saying, thus it will be done for the man who kills him. That wasn't what David was trying to say. Tell me again what I'm getting ready to get for this. That's not what David was doing. He has that anger boiling up in him, righteous indignation. People say, well, Christians should never be angry. You should be angry with the things God's angry with. Yes, you should get it. If you don't get angry with things God gets angry with, you got a bigger problem than what you're happy about. Thus it will be done. 1 Samuel 17:31. When the words which David spoke were heard, they told them to Saul, who is the king, and he sent for him. Okay. The men telling this, they see the fire in David's eye, and they notice something about him being different. And so they go to tell the king. Here's the motto of the king's guard. Again, I'm glad I write all this down for you, because you did. I think it's important that we learn these. The motto of the king's guard in ancient Greece is, all men have fears, but the brave put down their fears and go forward, sometimes to death, but always to victory. Isn't that a great motto? Sometimes to death, but always to victory. Standing up for what is right. Standing up for God. Like David again, we must have confidence to step out for the fight. Again, and you all hear a lot of us talking about this. You will hear as a young warrior, you know, a young person in the service, I can't wait to, you know, go against the enemy and to whip them and, you know, do all this stuff. Here's what I'll do on the battlefield. I'll show them. And all of a sudden the battle starts and you have that dead man stare, and you're not dead yet because you can't move. The fear has locked you, and you can't move. And you're thanking God that you can't move until you figure out, if I don't move, I'm going to be dead. But you still can't move. See, I didn't think anything like that, you know, when we're going through boot camp and getting ready for Vietnam and all of this stuff. I never thought of that. Hey, let's go over. Let's get everybody whipped up on and come on back home about 6 months. How many years were we in it? 10? No. 59 to 75? War is hell. It is. But folks, here's where we lose our perspective. You are continually at war against the evil of this world. It's in your everyday life. Sometimes they're in uniform, sometimes they're not, where you can spot the enemy. You and I deal with this on a daily basis because of evil. Evil doesn't have an end until God ends it. It will have an end, but not till God ends it. So we, as God's children, realize that Satan wants to mess with us because he knows he can't mess with God. Well, the Lord sends his son to us, let us know you trust in me, and he's not going to mess with you either. So when we accept Christ and we put our trust in him, not in the great armies of the world, but in the hands of the living God, the creator of the universe, the one who allowed armies to become armies. You're talking about more than the leading general. You're talking about the leading creator of life. And he looks at us and says, I love you. You see, what can the world do when they're coming against you and God says, you're messing with one of my kids? Ought not do that, and you won't, and live. But he had to step out to fight. You know, have you ever thought about this in battle? How are you going to win a war if you don't step up to fight the war? How are you going to win the battle if you don't show up for the fight? And we cower down, and we're waiting. What are we waiting for? Destruction. Well, that's not scriptural. I am to wait on God and God alone. When God gives the command, we are to pay attention. So David had to have the confidence to step out for the fight. 1 Samuel 17:25. The men of Israel said, have you seen this man who is coming? Meaning Goliath. 1 Samuel 17:33. Then Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, while he has been a warrior from his youth. But now picture that. Listen to what David's hearing on that. You are but a youth. But then King Saul just admitted that Goliath was a youth when he became a warrior. Are you seeing that? So David then relays to him the story about how he killed a bear and killed a lion. Now, a young guy that doesn't have any wit about him and standing with only his staff, and he kills a bear and kills a lion, somebody better pay attention to him. But he said that it was God that handed them over to him. In 1 Samuel 17:37, and David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and may the Lord be with you. Now, there's a whole story in between that of when the king wanted David to wear his armor. What, David couldn't move when he put on the king's armor. You know, here he was, he's this kid turning up, he could not move. And finally he convinces him, no, just let me go in the way that God sends me. You know, with a slingshot. Now, to a warrior general, that doesn't make any sense at all. But to the faith of a young man, listen, folks, you grasp hold of the faith in a child. You listen to a child speak about how they love the Lord. You listen to the wisdom of a child, and you'll hear the voice of God. You will understand why you must become as little children before you can enter the kingdom of God. Total faith. A child has total faith in the Jesus that is taught. The Jesus that's taught in his heart. Total faith. Well, Jesus can do it. Sort of puts us adults to shame a lot, you know. You know, all it takes is when you're really being devastated and kid comes in a room and says, "What's the big idea? Why don't you all pray?" Oh, well, I guess we didn't think of that. You know, sometimes listen to the children. When it comes to the Lord, always pay attention. God will have a word for us through them. But once again, notice what David's doing. He's saying, "Yeah, I know I'm tough," but he never says that. He knew he was. He's cocky and he was tough. But he said, "The Lord will deliver me." Trust God with your problems, and your problems become possibilities for God to work in your life. We hold on to our problems because we don't think that we want to really bother God with those problems. And God says, "Listen to me. I love you. Trust me." You reckon really that it gets down to that we talk about trusting the Lord, but when it really comes to the fight, we still want to trust our own knowledge of a battle or whatever? How much of ourselves do we put in the everyday battle? The more of ourselves we will take out of it, the faster you'll see the battle won. 1 Samuel 17:47. "And that all this assembly," now listen to David again, "all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." This is the kid, David, telling this to Goliath. Remember, Goliath was mad. "Is that the best you have?" But now you're going to remember here in a second, you'll see the Philistines running. Now, you think, well, wonder why that they turned to run. Because Goliath had called for a man, a warrior, send him. And so David steps up. I guess he had a loincloth. I don't know how it was dead. But, you know, that's got to really be embarrassing. But not nearly as embarrassing that when this young warrior steps up with his slingshot and he ends up slaying the giant. Now you picture the Philistines. Wait a minute. We said send your best. They sent a child. How much trouble are we going to be in when the adults start coming after us? So that'll give you a picture. Next, commitment to step into the fight. You can show up for the fight, but you got to step into it. Again, until you step into the battle, showing up is one thing. But getting ready to go and to step into the battle, that's something else. As Goliath shouted the cursings and mocked David's age and size at the foolish thing, David stood before him with a slingshot and five stones. 1 Samuel 17:50-51. Thus David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and he struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in David's hand. Now listen. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took out the Philistine's sword, Goliath's sword, and drew it out of his sheath and killed him. When David knocked him down with a stone, David didn't have his own sword. It reminds me today of some of the movies you'll see of these super guys. You know, I didn't bring a gun because I'll use yours. You know, when you see that stuff, Well, that was David. He didn't bring it. But that's not the reason it didn't bring. He didn't bring it because it's too heavy. So what does he do? He goes and he draws out the sword from his sheath and he killed Goliath and cut off his head with it. So this kid cuts off the head of the big mouth giant, Goliath, with his own sword. And if you'll read, there's so many different stories in that one story. But as you're looking at it, you'll see, you know, it is the battles are never won by the way we think they're won. You go into battle with the greatest of armies. We do. In America today, there's still no army, no military that can come close to us. That's not our problem. Our problem is politicians controlling the military. There's where the problem comes in. So what we must do, trust God. I'm sorry, folks. I'm just not very trusting of politicians lately. Probably for me the last 20 years or so. But you think of this. The battle is always God's. But God's children are the first one not to call on him. Well, how do you know that? Listen when you're talking to one another or whatever, and listen to the comments. All I have left is prayer. Let's just go pray. All we have left is prayer. Yeah? Yeah. But you know what should be most of the time isn't. I wanted to leave you with this ditty. The same God that gave David victory then can give us victory today. When David and Goliath met, the wrong against the right, the giant armed with human power and David with God's might, God's power with David's slang and stone the giant low did lay, and the God that lived in David's time is just the same today.